You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, I think we should start today's show off with some bad news.
Yeah, just get it out of the way.
Just rip that Band-Aid straight off.
Yeah, well, this is a guy who was just trying to enjoy some recreational time in his recreational vehicle. It was a lovely RV. One of the expensive ones. I mean, not like one of those rinky-dink ones where, you know, you buy it used and it's from 1987 and could fall apart at any time.
Used to be a meth lab out in Albuquerque.
This is a $180,000 RV.
Like a tour bus.
Oh, isn't that the kind of bus you want?
I want the $400,000 one.
Oh, my God.
I want the one with the extendable bedroom.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Where you pops out the side. Yeah.
So this guy, whose name is Eric Jackson, was on a lake in Texas preparing for a professional fishing tournament. So he had his also very nice boat behind this very nice RV, and he slowly lowers it back into the water and gets to the point where the boat is able to be deboarded or whatever. What do you call it?
Where you had... Embarked.
Launched. There we go.
Debarked.
No,
that's getting
launched.
Off a boat.
It's launched, yeah. So it's ready to be launched, and you know, he goes back to like unhook the front of it and everything else, and kind of what you do, right? So you go, you get in the boat, you motor it over to the dock or whatever, you tie it up, you go park your RV, and then you're off on your way. All that seemed like it was going according to plan, until all of a sudden, as he's slowly unhooking the boat, he realizes, oh my God, somebody has put my RV into reverse, and it is backing up into the water at a pretty good clip.
Oh, no.
The man's Dalmatian had jumped into the driver's seat, two-year-old Dalmatian named Bodie, jumped into the driver's seat to watch old dad out the window, and he accidentally stood on the keypad for the transmission, knocking the 38-foot vehicle into reverse and right into the water. And what's great about it is that there's video of the whole thing.
So he's
screaming and yelling and goes running towards the RV door, which is open, you know, because he's in the process of doing all this. And he jumps in and, you know, he's able to, like, you know, stop the RV before it fully gets submerged. But the back wheels of the RV are already floating by this point. The whole interior is flooded, and he thinks that the $180,000 vehicle is probably totaled.
Yeah.
You think, like, he should just, like, turn the car off, like the vehicle off?
No, put it in a giant bag of rice.
Or you can do that.
A much better plan. Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, sure, probably would have been a good idea to turn the thing off, but you also don't expect your Dalmatian to start driving your vehicle. So,
have you never seen 101 Dalmatians? They know how to drive.
There used to be 102 Dalmatians.
That's right. Bodie, until they took a trip to that farm north.
Well, some good news today. An Arizona man got an unexpected invite to a bachelor party for somebody he did not know. His name is Will Novak. He lives in Arizona. There's actually another guy named Will Novak that lives in Brooklyn, New York, that the invitation was supposed to go to.
Yeah.
Whoever was sending out the invitations screwed up. And next thing you know, Will from Arizona reached out to the guys and said, "Hey, dudes, you sent me an invite to your bachelor party, and I don't know you." And they said, "Well, bro, do you just want to come?"
Bro.
Just come, man. So a friend of Will from Arizona said, "Hey, we should put up a GoFundMe." And sure enough, he wanted to raise $750 to go, ended up raising $1,000. So now both Wills have been in communication, making sure it's the real deal. To make sure he wasn't a murderer or a serial killer, Will from Brooklyn said he gave us a background, like he shared his LinkedIn and Facebook. And then conversely, Will from Arizona said, "I have a keen training in second grade level martial arts. Should things go south, I feel I can defend myself."
Is the litmus test for being a serial killer having a Facebook and a LinkedIn?
Yeah, if you have a LinkedIn and a Facebook, you cannot be a serial killer.
Right?
Obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah. Although,
a serial killer wouldn't have a LinkedIn.
When you go, "Hey, are you on social media?" and somebody goes, "No," I'm like, "You're a serial killer."
I'm not on LinkedIn.
I'm on LinkedIn. Are you on LinkedIn, Dave?
Of course I'm on LinkedIn because I'm a professional. Mahoney is, you know, has a more relaxed approach.
I mean, I've got skills. You can endorse me.
So you know how it works.
Yeah,
you're familiar
you
with the process.
One.
Yeah, I just don't know. Why would I ever set it up, man? It's like, what's it going to do for me?
Yeah, what is it?
I feel like it's just another stupid social media that I don't need. Another platform for me to hate people.
It has gotten worse, especially when people kind of take the Facebook stuff and move it over to LinkedIn. You're like, I thought we all had an agreement that this was not going to be.
Like it was like a workplace.
It was just for work stuff.
Yeah.
For professionals.
Yeah.
Not your thoughts and feelings on
stuff.
That's
how a virus works. You know, it just slowly
infects
everything.
Eats you alive.
Yeah.
Question for you. Would you go on a bachelor party with a bunch of dudes you don't know?
Hell no. I don't want to go on a bachelor party with guys I do know at this age.
Yeah, I know. You're like,
we're going to like golf. Like, let's go golf somewhere.
Can we just play the first nine holes and then nap?
And eat. Can we just do that? Like, I don't want to go drink at a bar all night and then go to strip clubs.
Yeah.
Like, that's just tiring.
Until you get to the bar and you have three drinks and you're like, strip club, yeah!
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
It's like, it's not even about me. It's about your single friends who want to just get drunk as hell.
No, no, no. It's about the married guys who never get to go out and party anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of like to give them...
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
they're the ones that always do the most misbehaving. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, no, I'm doing it. It's for the guy who's about to get married. You're like,
for me.
You have four strippers sitting on your lap, Stan. So I'm just holding them until they get back, bro.
Dave and Mahoney.
The Blooper Reel is brought to you by Brian Head Resort. Beautiful skiing weather with a 20% chance of snow. Log on to brianhead.com and click the lodging page for your stay and ski packages.
Look at you.
You know what?
You know what?
I know.
Uh-huh.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So we're going to do the Blooper Reel here. And the reason why I wanted you to have to do that sponsorship before we got into the Blooper Reel is because... Yeah, last week we had to do a lot of those.
It was a little rough for me. I don't know why.
Yeah, for whatever reason.
Like, stay in ski packages for some reason was just my enemy.
It got you. But so far this week, batting 1,000.
Yes.
So well done.
Yes.
Last week,
It's the Blooper Reel.
Houston knew he was going to jail. When a deputy asked him why he's being taken to jail, he said that he threw dad at his pizza's face.
Log on to brianhead.com and click the lodging page for your stay and ski packages.
Good job. I can rewatch something like Sopranos. My fiance and I started watching that again not too long ago.
Log on to brianhead.com and click the lodging page for your stay and ski packages.
Specific incident that you remember that reminds you on a daily how awkward that phase in life was. That reminds you on a daily how awkward that phase in life was. Son of a bitch.
Log on to brianhead.com and click the lodging page for your stay and ski packages.
Snap, crapple. Does he crapple?
And high temps around 30 degrees.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I'm crisscross over here.
Really amazing stuff. We're all very, very good.
You're the yacht rock singer?
No, man.
Christopher Cross?
Yeah. No.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
So this split between Jeff Bezos and his wife is going to go very quickly, according to one West Coast-based attorney. He said it's going to go faster than an Amazon delivery, and the reason why is because there is so much money. So if you're in a situation where you're unfortunately going through a divorce, most people are like, oh my God, like losing half of my money is devastating. Half of whatever it is going to crush my portfolio or just my ability to pay the bills or whatever it may be. In this case, there's so much money, it doesn't really matter. And if the couple wants to split amicably, he said traditionally when there's a lot of money, it goes a lot faster.
I don't believe this. I think when you're dealing with the sheer amount of money and, you know, one of the most profitable companies in the world, this could change the landscape of all of that. Because most of that money is tied up in stock. Who controls Amazon? I think Jeff Bezos is going to want to retain that. We're going to see this. We're going to see this take longer than it takes for an Amazon package to get to your house.
Do you think it's going to get ugly, though?
I don't know if it's going to get ugly because I think he has enough money to keep this sort of stuff hidden. It just depends on if his wife wants to make it ugly or not.
Well, according to this source, they're saying that the majority of his wealth, as you mentioned, Mahoney, is tied up in Amazon shares. He will retain control of the company and will remain the majority shareholder. So, with that in mind, she's going to get a whole bunch of money. There's no question about it. But she's not going to be like 50-50 co-chair with him as the head of Amazon.
Does she become the most eligible bachelorette in the world?
Yes, she does.
Does she get her own reality show?
Move over Oprah.
No kidding. She is now the richest woman in history with this divorce.
Wow.
$70 billion. How about it? So Resorts World has been in the process of being built for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's finally starting to come together. If you haven't been on the Strip recently, it's the one that was going to be the Echelon that used to be where was it the Frontier and Stardust and all that stuff were in that area. Well, anyway, it's, you know, during the crash, the Echelon idea went away and that stopped being a reality. And then Resorts World came in and they bought it up. But now
they've been empty for a decade.
Yeah. Now they are already at war with Wynn and Encore because according to Wynn and Encore, their building looks a whole lot like the Wynn and Encore buildings. And they have actually filed a lawsuit against them, a trademark infringement lawsuit filed by Wynn Resorts last month, claims the property is too similar to the other two casino resorts on the Strip, like almost literally right across the street. The $4 billion project on the Strip's north end is expected to have 3,400 rooms, a 100,000 square foot casino, a variety of dining options with authentic Asian cuisine. The whole thing is that it's going to be very Asian themed.
Inspired, yeah.
Wynn's lawsuit filed in federal court here in Las Vegas argues that Resorts World building is substantially similar to the Wynn and Encore resorts, adopting without authorization the trade dress that in parts consists of a three-dimensional building with a concave facade and curved bronze glass, coupled with horizontal branding above and between the lines of the glass panes, which actually does sound a whole lot like the Wynn and Encore.
But then you look at it's going to have an Asian theme to it, so cool, guys.
But maybe Wynn just thinks that like people are going to get confused or think that
that's exactly what they're saying is Resorts World is saying, look, it looks nothing like it. Wynn's saying it's meant to mislead the public.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
Thinking that it's somehow affiliated with, sponsored or associated with the Wynn.
I don't know if the Wynn brand right now over the last like 2 years,
if you're going to glom onto a brand, you don't know if Wynn's the one that you go with.
Yeah.
Considering
everything that went down with Steve Wynn over the last couple of years. I don't know. Maybe it holds up in court. Maybe it doesn't. I'm looking at, you know, you can see what's up there right now. Plus the future renderings. I don't think that there's going to be any mistaking Resorts World for the Wynn personally.
Also, I mean, you have to be pretty stupid if you're mistaking the two of them. And nobody, well, maybe they do. Not a lot of people will just roll into Las Vegas and they're like, I think I'll just drive down the Strip and stay at whatever. Oh, there's the Wynn. I think I'll just pop into this $600 a night suite.
Oh, wait, this isn't the Wynn. This is Resorts World.
What?
Well, I'm here.
Well, good thing I'm a whale. I guess I'll just go ahead and swim on over to Resorts World and spend a couple $1 million over there instead of at Wynn.
Yeah.
I don't know. Seems like kind of a stretch. Samsung is unveiling their new TV. It's a 219-inch TV called The Wall.
Oh, my gosh.
It was showcased at CES here in Las Vegas last week.
Not big enough. Well, you couldn't go for 220?
219 just seems size. So...
Why you leave, size queen.
Why are you leaving me hanging at 219? 220 or 222 has a much better ring to it.
You need like an even number?
No, not necessarily, but I feel like a TV of that size is a definite necessity for every house.
200. Do you even have a wall that could fit that?
I don't know.
In my bedroom, I do, but not in my living room because there's windows.
Yeah.
The windows
wouldn't fit. Time to cover the windows.
Let's board this house up.
And finally, Brandon Marshall, who big star in the NFL for many years. He has been going out of his way to help families right here locally in North Las Vegas, which is pretty cool.
I like that.
Nice. Yep.
Marshall, a Las Vegas native, handed out boxes filled with hygiene supplies, food vouchers, Samsung tablet loaded with education programs to North Las Vegas families in partnership with Mayor Pro. Actually, a whole bunch of other people were involved in it as well, but they got together for a charity fundraiser, and he was obviously a big part of that. The boxes were created through Marshall Freed to Educate and Empower Leaders, or FEEL is what it's called, the initiative. He saw a need being in the local community in North Las Vegas, and so he wanted to do something about it. Always have respect for people that use their money and their time.
Their platform, basically, to do good.
Their celebrity to, give back to people that are in need.
So. Much better way, you know. Guys, so hats off to you, Brandon Marshall. Appreciate it.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So you guys said last week you all live these charmed lives, but there's got to be something that is just not going right at the moment, right? So I want to know, because I know what mine is, what is the biggest gripe right now about your life? I'm being furloughed.
Message deleted.
Oh, yeah. If you're a government employee, I feel for you right now. This has been going on for a long time.
It's brutal.
Longest ever.
For a slight correction, though, we didn't say that we lived a charmed life. I mentioned that Mahoney lives a charmed life.
Oh, okay.
Because Mahoney, he'll do the radio show, which he genuinely enjoys doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Every day.
And then you go home.
Yeah.
And you nap.
Sometimes.
And you eat.
Sometimes.
And you play video games.
Mostly on weekends.
Sometimes you get together with Bossy Rossi and enjoy lunch.
Yeah. But that's out for 2019, Dave.
It's a skinny year.
So no naps or?
Naps are still there. I haven't gotten back to the working out part of the skinny year yet, but I've gotten on the eating better, which is
kind of. How much are you down?
I had to go out for my mom's birthday last night.
Uh-huh.
So that pushed me up a pound. So I'm down 9.
Okay.
9.
That's.
But I ate a lot of salt. It was a lot of salt on that.
So you're just feeling a little bloated today.
Retaining a little bit of water. Yeah. But, you know, I would say my biggest gripe is just being fat. It sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm tired. I don't have the energy. Like, here's the thing. I forget, like, this happens every other year for the most part. I get to a point where I'm like, oh, man, I feel great. I'm working out. I'm moving around a lot. Like, I'm down. I'm getting physically fit. My life's good. And then I forget about how awful it feels on the other end of that pendulum going back the other way. Because I'm like, oh, I'll just, I'll get to it. You know, I can lose that weight real quick. And then, 10 pounds turns into 20, 20 turns into 30, 30 turns into 60.
In the words of Fat Bastard, I eat because I'm unhappy. And I'm unhappy
because
I eat.
It's not even because I'm unhappy. It's because I love food. Yeah. Like,
food is great.
I'm not a ridiculous drunk. I'm not addicted to any drugs.
That's good.
My one.
I like that you threw in there I'm not a ridiculous drunk.
Ridiculous drunk.
I'm a functioning drunk.
I like alcohol, but I'm not
normal drunk.
I don't.
You don't get out of control.
I can give
up
alcohol easier than I could give up fast food.
Yeah.
Okay.
Easy. Like, I'm not addicted.
But have you given up all fast food?
I haven't eaten fast food in a couple weeks.
Okay.
So.
And have you eaten?
That was a non-answer, but all right. That's
no,
fine.
I haven't eaten any fast food.
No, have you given it up? Like, have you made a decision that you're not going to eat fast food, or that's just kind of like...
Until I get skinny again, right. And then, I mean, history repeats itself, Dave.
Yes. If you're wondering how the story ends and then begins again, I think we know.
Time is a flat circle.
Please
like my
leave
abs.
A message.
Yeah, how's it going, guys? Love the show. Doing great job. I can totally understand how you can feel like marijuana, talking about it, is still a taboo issue. But let me tell you from experience, I've been smoking it quite a while, and my parents were completely against it. And then when it became legal, my dad is just on one now. It's so great.
Message deleted.
You know what? Like, that's the thing, is that if you're using it responsibly and you're an adult, it's legal now. And I get why people pulled a 180 when it was illegal. There was all sorts of risks associated with buying and consuming weed. You'd have to buy it from some weird dealer who was going to come over to your house and talk to you about chemtrails. And now, like, you just...
Frogs.
No, man, just all my weed.
Just walk into a dispensary. It's totally legal. You're not going to get arrested for it. And then the idea of consuming it has also become a lot less taboo. It used to be, if you had an employer that drug tested and marijuana was one of the things that flagged you, it could have cost you your career.
Yeah. Still can in some places.
Some
though,
places, sure.
That, they haven't gotten rid of that yet. But I feel like the taboo part comes from people who abuse that. Like, it's the same as alcohol. If I show up to work and I'm completely drunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing, you know, like, that's not a good look. If I come up to work and I'm completely stoned out of my brain, that's not a good look at your job either.
If you think about every stoner movie that's ever been made, it's never just mixed in. Like, there's plenty of movies where people will just socially have a cocktail, but it's not all about them being blackout drunk and falling over and making a fool of themselves. But every stoner movie that's ever been made, of course that stigma is there, because every stoner movie is like them baked out of their mind. They're half baked.
And they're dumb.
All the Cheech and Chong stuff. I mean, all of it is about them just being so baked out of their mind, they can't function. It's not like you're sitting on your couch at night watching Modern Family and you take a hit off of a vape pen. You're like, no one's socially using weed in movies. I think maybe that will change.
You think so?
Maybe.
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 Yeah, probably not. It's not nearly as funny.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'm just now getting into sour cream. Like, where the hell has this stuff been my entire life? I'm literally dipping everything in it now. Like, everything. I had a Hot Pocket in it the other day. It was fantastic.
Message deleted.
God, that just sounds...
Hot Pocket with sour cream?
So good and so fattening.
Sounds so good. Let me change your life right now, and anybody who is listening to this radio show. I learned this about 25 years ago, I want to say, when I was in high school. Jack in the Box was one of the only late night fast food restaurants that would stay open 24 hours in my town. And being the poor, broke guy that I was, would always get the two tacos for a dollar.
Right. Mm-hmm. Good deal. Nice value.
But treat and they're great. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, oh, get the ranch. Oh, no. They have sour cream that is like the coldest sour cream on the planet. Oh,
yeah.
At Jack in the Box. It costs like 50 cents per tube or something along those lines. But...
totally worth it.
Game changer. Will make the Jack in the Box tacos a true delicacy.
I do like how at Taco Bell, the only difference between a regular hard shell taco and a Taco Supreme is just a bunch of sour cream. It's now it's Supreme.
Yeah.
See, but that's like, I'll tell you this. That sour cream, it changes it, but it's not cold. Like, I mean, there's this thick, you have.
The way that you're describing it, like cold sour cream.
Mixed with
that's good.
Mixed with
the hot, yeah.
That is good.
It's kind of all melting together.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wonder why I'm fat.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
It's worth it, though. Mm. Spend that extra 50 cents. Treat yourself. You're worth it.
All right. Who wants to make a run to Jack in the Box?
I'll do it. All right.
Glitz. Glamour. Fame. Scandal. Weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So Celebrity Big Brother is back here in the United States. It's been a thing for a long time over in the UK. Mm-hmm. That's where it really got going and was huge over there. Still is. Has been for many years. And it's almost like the biggest stars or some of the bigger stars over in the UK will go on the Celebrity Big Brother. Even bigger stars here in the US will go over there and be on that version.
Okay.
The one here is only on its second season, and
it's mostly like B-list celebrities.
B is being generous.
Dancing with the Stars cast makes this cast look like, you know, the D-list.
Yeah.
So here is the list of the people that are going to be a part of the show this season. Julie Chen is coming back. She, despite all the stuff with her husband, Les Moonves, she's going to come back and host the show. Okay. But the cast is going to be Kato Kaelin.
Oh, the guy who's famous for being O.J. Simpson's friend.
For being O.J. Simpson's roommate or whatever.
That's it.
House guest.
Yeah, he lived in the house out back.
Okay. When there was a brutal murder, so that's why he's famous.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. Got it. Big star. Joey Lawrence.
I love Joey Lawrence.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you still?
What was he in? What was his big thing?
Blossom.
Blossom. Yeah.
Whoa. No. Was it Wow?
It was Whoa.
Whoa.
And
whoa.
That was
whoa.
30 years ago. 30.
Former NFL star Ricky Williams.
Oof.
Eesh.
Oof.
Yeah. Jonathan Bennett, an actor.
Who?
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know.
Okay.
Dina Lohan.
Great.
Why?
Lindsay Lohan's mom.
All right.
Blech. Tamar Braxton.
Tony Braxton's brother?
Maybe. Tamar. 41 and a singer?
Gotta be.
Tom Green, of course, who is a friend of the Dave Mahoney Morning Show.
He's the biggest star that you've listed so far.
You think so? Probably,
yes. Yeah, certainly.
Lolo Jones, the former Olympic athlete.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Olympian, yeah.
Candy Burris, also a singer.
She's on Real Housewives, or was on Real Housewives.
Was she? Okay.
What song did she sing?
She was on, like, I forget what the group was, but she's actually a fairly talented person and has a good chunk of money, so that one surprised me a little bit.
Okay.
Natalie Eva Marie, former WWE star.
Okay. A WWE flunky who hasn't been in there for 2 years almost.
Ryan Lochte, which should be fun.
Okay.
It should be fun, but wasn't he like, you know,
just let him and Ricky Williams smoke a bunch of weed and just pontificate about the universe. I will watch that.
And finally, Anthony Scaramucci.
The Mooch.
The Mooch.
The Mooch.
The guy who was 13 days as press secretary.
Yep, and then got fired. So,
or press director, whatever it was. Yeah. So, yeah, I wouldn't say loaded with A-list talent.
I'll watch.
You'd watch?
I'm watching it.
I'll still stand by my my claim that Tom Green, the biggest star on there.
Yeah. I'm a fan of Big Brother, though, so
okay. Yeah,
I'll watch it. So the upside surprised some critics. Came in at number one at the box office this past weekend, $19.5 million. Aquaman also continues to roll, has now smashed the $1 billion mark. I saw the upside. Bryan Cranston, Kevin Hart. I get why the critics don't love it, right? It's kind of predictable and
okay.
Sort of just like trying to be a feel-good movie. But I'm a big fan of Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston, so I liked the movie.
Yeah.
It was a fun movie.
It was a feel-good movie?
It was a feel-good movie. But it was,
like funny moments,
just like
right?
You know exactly what it's going to be from the moment you see the first preview for it.
Mm. The audience is liking that. 88% fresh, which is really good from the audience. A 4.3 out of 5, but 39% fresh from the audience.
From the critics.
From the critics.
Yeah.
Aquaman breaking $1 billion, that is monstrous. And Mary Poppins, I saw Mary Poppins Returns this past weekend, and I really enjoyed it. None of the songs were nearly as good as the original, but also, you know, we haven't had 60 years to hear them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a really well-done movie that, it pulls at the heartstrings.
Oh, did it make you tear up a little bit?
Everybody, I went with my parents and my fiance, yeah. and all of us were crying.
Oh, no.
Like little bitches.
Oh. Who's that bearded little bitch? That's Mahoney.
That's right. That's why I sit in the background so they can't see me.
Former UFC champion Holly Holm has filed for divorce, wants her maiden name back. She filed docs in Albuquerque court seeking to end her marriage to Jeff Kirkpatrick, her college sweetheart at the University of New Mexico. The two were married in Cancun back in 2012 after dating for years, but ultimately they decided that it wasn't working, filed for divorce. And, and there was kind of some signs on social media. She hadn't posted any pictures of him since February of last year in 2018. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, something's going on.
Signs were there.
Her legal name is now Holly Holm Kirkpatrick, and she wants a judge to restore her maiden name of just Holly Holm. I get why this happened. It stinks, but Holly Holm went from being kind of a nobody to a huge star when she knocked out Ronda Rousey to then kind of leveling off and being just sort of a middling fighter who's okay. But it's difficult to deal with that sort of insta stardom and your relationship continue to work when all of a sudden you go from having a normal life to everyone pulling you in a bunch of different directions and having to travel all over the world. So it stinks, but if they're unhappy and they're going their separate ways, then good for them.
It doesn't sound like it's tumultuous or anything. Just, it sounds kind of amicable.
Maybe.
I guess.
Maybe, yeah. But like I said, if they're going their separate ways and that's what ultimately makes them happy, good for them. Instead of staying in a miserable relationship that sucks the life out of you.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Don't do that.
Maroon 5 has confirmed that they are going to be joined by a couple of others during their Super Bowl headlining gig. Travis Scott and Big Boy are going to be a part of it.
Okay.
So after the whole Colin Kaepernick controversy left the NFL, quote, struggling to find support acts, which I don't really believe. There was just kind of this big backlash on social media about how, the NFL had been whitewashed and everything else. Big Boy stepping in, Travis Scott.
Travis
be
Scott's
there
one
as well.
Of the hottest rappers out there right now.
Popular guys. Yeah. Maroon 5 will do great.
And you got to throw back with Big Boy from Outkast. I like that as well.
No matter who it is that's playing the Super Bowl halftime show,
they're going to get lambasted.
50% of people hate it anyhow.
Of course.
So who cares?
I'm not a huge Maroon 5 fan, but their music's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's very
good. But you know who should just do the Super Bowl halftime show every year? Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
He just crushes. Everyone loves
Bruno Mars.
Yeah. Just have Bruno Mars do it every single year. And then he gets to cherry pick a couple of his favorite artists to bring in and be a part of the show with him.
Done. Genius.
Maroon 5 is going to be headlining again. And then finally, Chris Pratt is engaged. He announced on social media, on Instagram, that him and Katherine Schwarzenegger are taking the plunge.
A little quick.
It is a little bit quick.
Feels quick.
Have they been a year together?
Have him and his wife been even separated for a year at this point?
I feel like probably, but it just feels...
He might have rushed into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I like Chris Pratt, and I don't know anything about Katherine Schwarzenegger, but he seems like he's head over heels for her.
Any relationship, I say, just, give it a year or two.
Give it a year.
Live with that person for at least a year.
See how it goes. Yeah. But, whatever. I mean, it's Hollywood. If he gets divorced again, it doesn't matter at all. So. Yeah. Got her a fat ass ring. Did you see that picture? Fat ass ring.
Yeah, that thing is
fat.
No wonder she said yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Give me that ring. I'll say yes. Dave Pratt. Sounds nice, doesn't it?
It does sound nice. Yeah. David Pratt.
In fact, don't even give me the ring.
Dave and Mahoney.
What is the most embarrassing place that you've thrown up or you've been thrown up on?
Oh, boy.
You can text us at 73100 on social media at Dave Mahoney. Ryan on Facebook said in a restaurant called Ricardo's, used to be at Meadows Mall, I think. My dad was a cop and other cops in uniform walked over to say hi. During their conversation, I didn't chew one of the giant chips enough, or really at all, and it got stuck when I swallowed it. Not wanting to look like a bitch, I stayed dying for a few seconds, hoping their conversation would end so I wouldn't embarrass myself in front of the cops at least. Then, for some reason, I threw up everywhere, and out came the chip.
I mean, your body's trying to save your life. You're obviously choking. Is there anything worse, though, to choke on than a chip?
A chip is pretty
bad.
Because
it's like
a knife.
It's pretty
bad.
But it's just like, how is a Dorito destroy? Like, it feels like razor blades.
I can only imagine a couple of other things that are worse to choke on than a chip.
Couple.
Tiffany said, preteen, I was at the Adventure Dome and threw up on a ride on the person next to me. Oh, and it was a red slushy that I'd been drinking. That's good, though. Angela said, parking lot, literally walking out of the bar before jumping in an Uber. So at least you don't get hit with the $250 fee, you know, for barfing in an Uber. Brian said, it was our first football game my sophomore year in high school. We were lined up on the 3-yard line. As soon as the ball was snapped, I ran to the back of the end zone and threw up.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If you're in an Uber and you have to throw up and you have the Uber driver pull over and you throw up outside of the car, you're not getting charged.
You're not getting charged for that, no. I mean, the clock still keeps running.
Yeah.
But you're not getting charged for that.
He's like, hey, man, can you quick a little pit stop right here?
David on Twitter, at Dave Mahoney, said, got hit real hard in the family jewels playing football in high school. Kid hit me so hard that my cup cracked, and I threw up on the sideline.
If you've never been hit so hard, I mean, you see it in professional fights.
It happens in mixed martial arts from time to time. I forget the guy's
Gonzaga
name.
Gonzaga or something.
No, it was the blonde-haired dude. His name was Dennis or something like that. He got walloped in the nuts so hard that he's just like, and then Herb Dean's like, are you okay, man? You all right?
We got a text right now to 73100. This one says, all over the waiting area of the Palace Station Valet after a trip to the buffet. This was years ago, and they still remembered me for a few solid years. So embarrassing.
JD said, I was leaving a big Halloween party on the Queen Mary dressed in full Jack Nicklaus Joker attire and barfed out the passenger side window on the drive home. Of course, my friend didn't slow down, and my friend then had custom barf flames on the side of their car.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Oh, boy.
So the most embarrassing place that you've thrown up or been thrown up on, going to Twitter, at Dave Mahoney, Ruby said, on a pool table at a sports bar.
Oh, no.
And I can't imagine a much worse place, because you do it on the floor. It's, you know, only so evident. You do it in the trash can, great.
Yeah,
home run.
You hose it off.
On the pool table, first off, very difficult to get out of the felt. Also, I mean, it's in the middle of the room.
I don't think you can.
It's in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And there's a light on it. So, like, everyone sees exactly what you just threw up.
And it has six holes. You're like, quarter. Do you call that one? No. Quarter pocket, eight ball.
Blah! Ayla said, night out with the people I work with, stopped at a gas station, threw up all over my feet, LOL.
Yeah.
Oh, Brittany, all over a strip club, almost hit a table full of guys and a waitress.
Had another one at a strip club in Tijuana.
Which
actually hit the stripper.
Coming
in off our text line at 73100.
All right, how gross do you want to get here? Because
I mean,
we're already down the rabbit hole?
Yeah.
All right. Was having some pre-coitus fun time when my lady friend proceeded to throw up all over my junk. She then got up and locked herself in the bathroom, embarrassed, while I'm laying there covered in puke, not knowing what to do, unable to get into the bathroom.
Yeah, you can't, like, what do you do in that situation? You're like,
yeah, I don't know, man.
Is this it? Did we call it? This is it for the night?
Like, so are we done, or can I just, like, hose off? Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good.
my first underage kegger. I was like 15, and go into the back, do my first kickstand, and got this really buff dude holding me up, and Pringles, man, Pringles were in my stomach. I couldn't handle the beer, and Pringles shot out my nose.
Oh, you started barfing while doing the kegstand?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Granted, I was like 10, 15 seconds in already. I was trying, man.
How do you alert him? Do you just start kicking your legs? You're like, put me down, put me down, put me down.
I had like maybe one friend around me, and he wasn't even paying
attention. How long did you get made fun of for that?
The party, and that's about it.
Really? Okay. Good for you. Yeah. See, that's a good thing about going to a party with a bunch of randos. Like, you don't have to see them every single day. Thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you. Christian joining us this morning. What's up, Christian?
All right. So this happened about several years ago, I want to say. It involved a bottle of a cream vodka. I think the Smirnoff.
Like the whipped cream vodka? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, there you go. That one, exactly that one. And keep this in mind how bad this is. I'm diabetic.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you remember a bar at the Hooters Casino called Joysticks?
I do not. Never had a chance to make it there.
Yeah, I think I'm the reason why they closed that bar. the whole idea was just go with some friends to go do karaoke, and I just wanted some, courage juice. And that's where the whipped cream vodka thing came in. I just overdid it. And I was moving around. I was fine. And by the time I stopped, I sat down, it's like everything hit. And one friend was looking at me, and apparently he went and said, he's got about 5, 10 seconds. And then my friends, they were looking at me and going like, 10 seconds of what? And he counted down, and then I just threw up all over the floor.
Oh, so did you actually make it to one on the countdown? You're like 3, 2, 1, blah.
Happy New Year.
Oh, man. John joining us this morning. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What do you got for us?
So I got two. One's me and one's a buddy of mine. The first one, I was at Six Flags. Went on a roller coaster, just got done, got sick. I get motion sickness. Well, I decided I was going to go puke over one of the little bridges and didn't realize that there was a roller coaster going underneath me.
Oh, no. Did you hit
it? No. I sprayed the whole back end of the roller coaster.
Oh, you monster. Those poor people on that roller coaster. Oh. Worst ride ever.
It's like Fabio getting hit in the face with a pigeon.
Then I had a buddy of mine. We were playing a game called King's Cup, and his friend lost, but he decided he wanted to drink half the cup that person didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as he finished drinking it, he started puking, and it pretty much went. He sprayed the walls all the way down the hallway to the bathroom, and by the time he got to the bathroom, he was already done.
Yeah, if you don't know what King's Cup is, Dave, I don't know if you've ever played this.
No.
It's where the rules vary, but there's four kings. If you draw a king, you pour however much you want of your drink into the middle one, and four of those happen, and whoever gets like the last one or loses has to drink whatever that concoction is in the middle. It is just the worst drinking game of all time.
It really is. The only difference is our rules were, by the time we were done, it was like one of those big martini glasses, and it was full of probably about 14 or 15 different drinks. Half full of vodka.
It's like a bar mat.
Brutal. Thanks for the call today, man.
No, thank you.
This is a tough one here. In a pool in Bali with my buddy, I was surrounded by about 6 gorgeous Australian girls that were on holiday, but I had food poisoning, and the vomiting caused not just it to come out of my mouth, but also the other end in the pool.
Oh, no.
Needless to say, I did not get laid that night.
They closed the pool down, man. Yeah,
no kidding.
What are you doing?
And finally, I was on a plane, and I threw up in my own lap on the plane during takeoff, and I wasn't allowed to get up, so I just went to sleep.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
There's very few places that qualify as good places to throw up outside of maybe at home in the cleanest bathroom in your house. But there's lots of bad places. And so this morning we're talking about the most embarrassing places that you've either thrown up or been thrown up on. And we have a couple of more here that are hilarious and gross, and everything about them is just... This one here, for example, Troy said, U2 with Rage Against the Machine opening in Memphis at the Liberty Bowl in the mid-90s. Summer, 90 degrees, tons of humidity. handful of us throwing down. Most of us just looked, most people just looked at us like we were crazy. I drank a 32-ounce Gatorade that was one-third full of vodka prior.
Uh-huh.
That's known as a Faderade, for those of you that aren't familiar. After rage, went down a few rows and barfed my guts out. Sun went down, cooled off a bit. I felt great and still enjoyed a hell of a U2 show.
How about this one off our text line, Dave? My current job, I threw up at my interview. Had the flu real bad and was feeling better when I left for the interview. Then about halfway through the interview, it happened. The worst part about it... The worst part about it, I offered to clean it up and he was like, no, I'll get it cleaned up.
Think about how awful all of the other candidates must have been that came in. Or how great you were. You barf halfway through. Alexa said, I threw up a lot being pregnant once right in the middle of teaching my fourth grade students.
Oh.
On another note, the other day, a kid sneezed so violently it sprayed all the way across the room, seriously like 6 feet, and shot snot all over me and several other kids. Sissy said, I threw up at a bar. It was a country bar called the White Horse. Threw up right on the bar.
How about this? My daughter was 5 years old, and my husband was carrying her into a Cold Stone Creamery. She said her tummy was hurting, and as we were in line, she puked all over his back and on the floor. Right then, someone walked in behind us, said nope, and walked right out.
Speaking of kids, how about this one? Kirsten said, I had two kids on a plane flying from Vegas to Minneapolis. As a dad of two young kids, it's always a challenge, right? You're juggling.
That's a pretty good flight, too. What, 4 hours?
Three and a half, four hours.
Uh-huh.
I thought I would give my 7-month-old daughter 2 8-ounce bottles during the 3-hour flight to keep her content. About 20 minutes before landing, she projectile vomits into my lap. The flight attendant gave me a bag to pull it into.
Oh.
When that was done, my 3-year-old son handed the bag to the poor lady next to us to hold.
Oh, no.
She looked disgusted and asked for a wipe after I snatched it out of her hand while apologizing. Worst flight ever.
For that woman.
Olivia said, my desk at work, interestingly, Olivia, works here at Intercom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Didn't
hear about that
one. Didn't realize.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, these things happen.
Ivan the Blind Mexican is joining us this morning. What's up, Ivan?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm a little late, aren't I? Anyway,
sorry.
There I was. Did you guys hear me?
Yeah,
we got you.
Oh, all right, sorry. Yeah, like 7-8 years ago, man, I was out with my sister, and then we decided to smoke a lot of weed.
Uh-huh.
After that, we always hit up good old Del Taco.
Yep.
And so I told her, so we're on the 95, and I told her, sis, you got to pull over. I got to throw up. She's like, no, you're not going to throw up. I said, sister. Threw it right inside her car, opened the door, got outside of the middle of the 95, started throwing up everywhere. I'm sure a lot of people were giving me the thumbs up. I got a lot of honks and a lot of Viva Las Vegas.
I imagine that the danger level of getting out to barf on the side of an interstate goes up significantly when you're blind, Ivan.
Oh,
can I encourage you not to do that in the future? You probably got a lot of honks because you were standing in the middle of a lane.
The power of the 18-wheelers, man.
Yeah, the wind just knocks you back a little bit. All right, man, have a great day.
Oh.
This one is pretty fantastic because she actually posted a picture of it. You see this here? So
it's
a girl in a bee costume. She was a mascot for a radio station, and I love that she tagged the radio station in this. She said, hungover, 21st birthday, working as an intern for B101 in Philly in the Buzzbee mascot costume while taking pictures with the family that just won a car after a summer-long sweepstake. Barfed right in the helmet of that thing, and it sloshed around while I had to sit there and pretend like nothing happened.
And you know that radio station is so cheap that they didn't buy
a new one.
They probably didn't even dry clean it. They probably just hosed it out.
Just hosed it off, yeah. All right, and the final one here, Heidi. Oh, Heidi. When I was dating my husband, and you still got married, by the way, congrats. Back in high school, we were sleeping over at a friend's house after a party and a long night of drinking, and my husband ended up throwing up spaghetti in my hair while he slept.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, Mahoney, and Sylvia. If you all started a band, what would the band name be? Now look, don't be clowns. I'm serious. I know it's in your nature to be clowns, but just this once, Don't be. If you started a serious band, what would your serious band name be?
Message deleted.
A serious band? Like, I mean, band names in general
are dumb.
Are dumb. Can't like, what stupid, does yeah. Pearl Jam mean? You know?
Or Little Feet.
Yeah. Foo Fighters.
Right. Like, they only become cool when the band becomes cool. But I feel like a good way to start a band is by just taking a random city and a random emotion and putting it together.
Las Vegas. Depression.
No, like Chattanooga sadness.
Oh, dang it, that's good.
Albuquerque hate.
Albuquerque rage would be pretty good, yeah.
So
Albuquerque angst.
But you have to say it like that, yeah. Though.
I'm an Albuquerque angst. I'm the bassist.
No, see, I see Mahoney as a bassist.
No, I don't got any rhythm. My name for our band.
We're already in the band?
Yeah.
Okay.
For our band.
Okay.
Would be Insane Clown Posse 2, Electric Boogaloo. We'd be a hit.
In a Chattanooga tent IP.
Please leave a message after the tone.
F, but then it's marry and kill. Okay, I'm sure you guys know the game. Okay, so apply that, but Twitter, Instagram, and your personal email. Which one are you guys going to do to what?
Message deleted.
Marry your personal email, yeah. F, Instagram, kill, whatever the last one was, Twitter.
Twitter?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'd want to marry my,
really?
My personal email.
Yeah, you got to marry your personal email.
No, no, for sure. I think that
you put a ring on that.
And you hook up with Instagram because, I don't know about you, there are the...
yeah, you're right. You can't hook up with Twitter.
No, there's too much hate.
No, yeah, it's dirty.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be the best one of your life, but then it wouldn't stop calling you.
Yeah.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So I want to know what the top score is you've ever gotten in bowling. People always talk about how hard it is to bowl a perfect game, and it's totally not. My high was 274, and it was my second game ever. I'm still pretty mad about it to this day.
Message deleted.
Shut up, nerd. That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. You're a filthy liar. The highest I've ever bowled was like 218, and it was on a date with, it was like one of my first dates with my fiance. I think you were there.
Really?
I think we were at Red Rock Bowling Alley.
Yeah, I think you're actually right.
And
yeah,
then we had a couple other groups of friends, yeah. And I was like bowling my ass off that day.
Were you trying to impress her?
No, I was just, it was just one of those times.
See, I'm the same way. I'm streaky when it comes to bowling and pool. Like, if I'm on, I'm on. And if I'm not, I'm not.
That's the only time I've ever broke 200.
Yeah.
That one time. And she thought I was like a good bowler. It's like, we can never go bowling ever again.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
What kind of America are we living in today when you can't roll up to a Walmart and harass a scooter drinking wine out of a Pringles can? And that's how we start today's Redneck
Report. This ain't the America that I know.
Of course, this happened in Texas. A woman rolled up through the parking lot drinking the wine from the Pringles can.
Yeah.
Officers responded to the call at about 9 a.m.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Party.
When people said there was a suspicious person in the parking lot, investigators found the woman at a nearby restaurant, and she told them, well, I was going to go to Walmart, but I can't because I'm banned. Banned from Walmart. The caller said the woman had been riding around the store's parking lot since 6:30 a.m. drinking the wine from the potato chip can.
I can just picture her just like going in a circle, just like patrolling Walmart.
I didn't realize that the fortitude of those Pringles cans could hold up to.
You'd think all that liquid in there for several hours. Yeah. Eventually, you know, because it's just essentially like a paper towel roll, right?
You would think.
Pretty good. An enhanced paper towel roll.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Maybe she had a bag in there?
Maybe.
Shove the bag in there?
Oh, God.
Elizabeth Darlene Wilson, 31 years old, appeared in court on two charges of aggravated possession of drugs, one count of possession of dangerous drugs with intent to distribute them and sell them when she brought a backpack full of drugs to court.
Mm.
Inside the backpack was 0.53 grams of meth and MDMA, 11 blue capsule pills stamped R3060, which appear to be amphetamine, as well as some other pills, a pipe, which had some meth in there, along with a paperclip with some residue, 11 pills identified as gabapentin. Ever heard of that? Gabapentin?
No.
A clear bag with marijuana buds weighing 2.32 grams and a glass pipe with some weed residue in there as well. She was charged with possession of drugs, the instruments, the paraphernalia, as well as possession of a controlled substance, both misdemeanors.
Gabapentin is a drug that is used to treat seizures or pain caused by shingles.
So it's probably just a, if you overdose on it, it's you get
it gives
the high
like some
of
kind
a,
of high
of a pain pill, essentially.
Yeah. Don't you hate it when you go to court
and you forget you got your backpack full of drugs on you?
Or do you? Or is there a thought process that goes into that? Like, well, I'm going to court for drugs. They'll never expect.
They'll never suspect that I've got my drugs in my backpack.
I'm not that stupid.
You're like, man, we search everything that comes into the, forget it. Just you keep doing you. So a man who police say placed a 3-foot alligator on top of another man in Connecticut as part of an extortion attempt. Jesus Christ, you guys. It's just baseball bats. I mean, anything.
Nope. I got gator. This 3-foot gator. He's going to eat you.
The Connecticut Post reports the 30-year-old from Garland, Texas, entered his plea Thursday of to unlawful restraint. He originally faced kidnapping, assault, and larceny charges in what police say was one of the strangest cases they've ever investigated. Authorities say the 21-year-old called his aunt in April to say he had been kidnapped and his abductor was demanding $800.
That's it.
What a totally obtainable ransom, right? $800, like, I mean, that sucks, but all right.
I got it.
My ATM limited day is 600.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
It's going to take a couple days.
Police say she received a photograph of him face down in a bathtub with an open-mouth gator on top of him. Authorities later arrested Garcia at a Sheraton hotel.
Wow.
When you're here, your family. I mean, we laugh at a 3-foot gator, but... That's still pretty big.
It's a monster.
I mean,
man.
You don't want to be bit by a 3-foot gator, but also,
but if I'm face
it's not that intimidating.
If I'm face down, I'm okay. If I'm face up and the gator's on top,
that's
not good.
Give me the $800, please.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X 107.5.
The gator's like, what is that? A summer sausage? What is that? A little delicacy? Is that from a deli tray? What is that little...
Dave and Mahoney.
You know, it's always a unique situation when Ian goes out and he talks to somebody on the street for what we call dirty laundry. Mm-hmm. Now, dirty laundry is, you know, it's him going out and talking to people in a sketchier part of town. And it's generally at the same bar laundromat combination that he likes to go to because it's always loaded with interesting characters. Like, you never have any doubt that you're going to get people out there that have something to say. But this time, for the first time ever, mm-hmm. we're flying blind. We have no idea what to expect because Ian is out today. He had the extended weekend, so he's enjoying himself a little bit of time on his own. And so we don't know what we're going to get in this particular case, which makes it even more exciting.
Like okay. A real treat.
So for the first time ever, totally flying blind, no idea what to expect. All we know is that Ian is out on the streets talking to somebody at this shady-ass bar laundromat combination on the east side of town.
Dirty laundry.
Here we are again at the bar laundromat, and I have found a friend, and believe it or not, I told him before not to give his name, but he's very insistent on giving his name. His name is George. George, how are you?
Doing pretty well.
I'm looking for something you've never told anybody before, and you told me you have a story that involves some lovemaking, but also involves something else. Lay it on me, man.
Okay, so this was probably, you know, maybe 2 years ago. I was dating a girl, and we were really into fitness at the time. And we started, you know, we would work out together, and I remember waking up one morning, we decided to go to the gym, and she decided to take some, you know, some protein before we went to the gym, which is kind of weird. I usually take it after, and we went to the gym, worked out, and we took protein after as well, and one thing led to another, and we found ourselves in bed making the love, you know. As I was making whoopee with this girl, she must have been so in the moment that things must have let loose, and she... I was, you know, in the middle of this and didn't realize it at the moment until I smelt this stench permeating the room. I tried to look the other way or smell the other way, whatever you want to look at it, and I continued to get it over with, and after I had said, what's going on, and...
So how was the cleanup afterwards? Was it...
It was so uncomfortable. It was... I was so proud of how she took it. She was like a champ. Like, I would have been unbelievably embarrassed, but the way that she took it was unbelievable.
Just to elaborate a little bit, look at me. You know, I don't really work out. I have had protein before, but only in bar form.
Well...
So was this a... What was the consistency?
It's liquid. It's liquid coming at your...
Are you still with this girl?
No. Hey. I think the embarrassment of what happened never led to anything further. I was surprised. This girl was pretty cool, you know? Like, this girl, like, shaved my...
I think we can safely say that the hit the fan.
It definitely hit the fan.
This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
It's Top Stories! Here's what's making news.
What's the man about to touch the gym, boy?
So the Burks is in. They have figured out the age where you start feeling too old to work out. It's 41 years old. Plus, there is the most common reasons that people stop exercising. If your workout buddy cancels on you, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. Bad traffic.
Oh, yeah.
It gets dark outside.
It does. I don't
want to. It makes you lazy. Or like it makes you feel like, you're like, I want to get out.
I've already missed my chance for today. I'll just go tomorrow. Would rather stay in and watch Netflix came in at number 7.
That should be way higher. Way higher.
Staying late at work is number 6.
Okay.
Eating too much. Bad weather. It's already late. Uh-huh. You've got too much work to do. And number 1 is that you're just too tired.
Yeah.
I feel like the weather is also a factor sometimes. Like if it's like too cold or if it's raining.
Yeah, that was number 4 on the list.
I know. I'm saying. I agree with that.
Yeah, 28% of people said that's the reason why.
I'm in that percentage.
And then, you know, being in Las Vegas, too hot sometimes.
Is I don't want to get sweaty on there?
No, that is not on there. I think that's kind of the point of working out. Yeah, is to get sweaty.
I don't want to get sweaty.
Huh.
All right.
I'm going to have to shower again. Trying to conserve water.
I don't know. When I double shower in a day because of a workout, there's a sense of accomplishment. Even though I have to dry off with a slightly damp towel, I'm like,
oh, your towel hasn't forgot your butt from the previous shower.
It has not.
Now it takes a full 24 hours.
My towel just sits there and shakes and thinks about what happened.
And then it's time to do it all over again.
Like, oh, no, I'm not ready.
Not again.
So please stop a 34-year-old by the name of Holly Sanson. On suspicion of shoplifting from a Kohl's store, police say that when they approached the woman, she shrugged and said, I've got to go.
Okay.
Before leading officers on a high-speed chase. Her car reached speeds of nearly 100 miles an hour. She almost struck other vehicles. The chase ended when they put out some spike strips and blew out her tires. She was arrested on charges of resisting law enforcement, theft, and reckless driving. What's interesting is that while she was blazing down the road at 100 miles an hour, she was chucking the stuff that she stole out the window. Police recovered 4 bras, 14 pairs of panties, 2 candles, some air freshener refills, all valued at $445.
So did she like throw them out the window to be like, so if she got stopped again, like, I don't have it, see?
I don't really know the thinking behind this, but I would say that probably the best case of somebody chucking something out the window, it was one of the world's wildest police videos or cops or something. They had a bunch of cocaine.
Uh-huh.
And they were chucking these like big kilo size things out of cocaine out the window. But when they hit the ground, just blow going everywhere. And as the cops are chasing them, there's like a cloud of cocaine that they're flying through in their squad cars. You're like, man.
That sounds kind of cool.
I want to know how all that stuff added up to $400, though. 4 bras, 14 pairs of underwear.
Bras are expensive, right?
They are pricey.
But $400? I mean, Can I apply my Kohl's cash to that?
You need to.
Get the charges knocked down a little bit?
I guess I'll never understand the mindset of terrorists. So ISIS fanatics are plotting, or were trying to plot some sort of murder of Kate Middleton, the Duchess of Cambridge. Like, why? What did, like, she doesn't have any real authority or power.
Political
she's just like
power, nothing.
No.
An ambassador for doing nice things.
Yes, she's like one of the nicest people in the world.
Yeah. They have threatened to poison the food that she buys at the supermarket.
Oh,
because like they saw some video or some picture
of
video
of where she was shopping and the type of food that she was getting.
Poison it.
I'll never understand a terrorist mindset. Like, what is your problem? Like, just smoke some weed and get laid, you losers.
Can we just start dropping Playboys on them?
Yes.
Like Playboys and McDonald's, and let's call it a day.
Yeah. Like, they've targeted Prince George, too.
And what's the point?
Exactly.
Who's Prince George, and why would you want to kill him?
A little baby.
I know, but like, it's a baby.
Yeah, it's a little 5-year-old.
As far as like having some sort of political influence or ramifications, all you're going to do is infuriate an entire world of people when you start targeting children.
Yeah, and then they're going to kill you because you're going to lose.
So a dad has created an app that locks your kid's phone until they answer your text.
That's pretty kind genius. Of brilliant.
The app is called Reply ASAP. It gives parents the much-needed power to freeze their kids' phones when they don't respond to text messages. The brilliant dad has worked out the way to lock down all of other functions on your kid's phone suddenly, so they have to respond to your message. Mm-hmm. In the case that isn't enough, the app also sets off an alarm on the phone until they respond. Yes, the alarm still works, even if the phone is in silent mode.
No, how embarrassing for that kid.
I'm getting a phone when I have a kid. I'm getting him a jitterbug.
What is a jitterbug?
You haven't seen those commercials for the jitterbug?
No.
It's those old people phones that you can only...
It's one button.
Yeah.
Do you want to call mom or do you want to call dad? Those are your options, kid.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Got to learn how to T9 text like we did.
Yeah, know the pain. You realize that's our uphill both ways in snow.
Yeah.
Tipsy or toddler?
All right, Kevin is joining us this morning here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. What's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Good, good. How you guys doing?
Good. So tell me about your experience with kids and with people that have had too much to drink.
Oh, well, I've got four kids. That's an obvious one. I know all about kids. And then drinking? Oh, yeah.
Did you start drinking because of the
kids?
Because
you have four kids? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I jumped right into it. It wasn't even an issue.
So here's how this works. We are going to just read to you what was said, and you're trying to figure out if this was said by somebody who's had too much to drink or a child. If you get three out of these five correct, you are going to be our winner today. Simple enough?
Awesome.
Mahoney, take it away.
Number one. I had to move on. I'm going to Gents. I've been in this house way too long. I have to move on sometimes. Gonna make Jen's house as clean as I can make it.
Okay. Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm gonna say that one's tipsy.
Tipsy. Seems like it, but no, incorrect. Let's have a listen.
I have to move on. I'm going to Jen. I've been in this house way too long. I need to move on sometimes. I will make Jen's house as clean as I can make it.
Oh, wow.
Sassy. Wow.
I love how kids are mirrors of their parents.
Clean thing with kids?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, not a chance.
You can't even
imagine that.
0% chance. All right, Sylvia, go ahead and take it away.
All right. Did you see that that movie with the fat guy that robbed the store? Sing Makuta Tai. Sing Makuta Tai.
Ooh. Tipsy or toddler?
Toddler.
Toddler is.
Incorrect. I'm sorry. That was somebody who's had too much to drink. Here we go.
Did you see that that movie with the frat guy who robbed the store? Yeah. Sing was it a Kai, actually. Sing was it.
All right.
I want to see that movie. Right. Yeah. I mean, like, put that on the trailer, the upcoming trailer. Did you see the movie with the fat guy who robbed the store?
All right, Kevin. So you're still alive. You got two incorrect. You must get these next three correct. All right.
Right on.
Right, here we go.
Let's do this.
Ah, mom. What is that? Is that who broke it?
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler?
I'm going to say toddler.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
Oh, tipsy.
No, oh, what do you know? Yeah, you got it.
That.
What is that? Is that her table? Who broke it?
All right, you're on the board with one. Go ahead, Mahoney.
All right, number four. That's why you're running. This or that. This or that. This or that. That's why you're running. My Christmas. Touche.
Wow.
Tipsy or toddler?
I'm going to have to go with toddler.
Toddler is.
There we go.
Correct. Let's have a listen.
Okay.
That's why you're running. This or that. This or that, this or that. Mm-hmm. That's why you're ruining my Christmas. Touche.
Okay. All right.
Of kids.
Two incorrect, two correct. It all comes down to this fifth and final one.
Don't worry about it. Got it, got it. What? Ray and keep on going. I worry about Des youngsters these days and times. Pray for him. Play on him.
Is that a tipsy person or a toddler for the win?
I'm going to say tipsy.
For the win, you are correct. You're the best around. Nothing's going to ever keep you down. You're the best around. Let's have a listen.
Don't worry about it. God got it.
What?
Pray and keep on going. I wonder about these youngsters these days and times. Pray for them. Play on them.
Congratulations to you, Kevin. You figured out how to get it done, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dave and Mahoney, weekday mornings, 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Stop stories! Here's what's making news.
So, do you remember last week when we were talking about the woman who broke into the police station because she had this infatuation with a cop and she really loved him? And she
wanted to date him.
She wanted to date him.
She wanted to date him. And so she broke into a closed police station and started rifling through a bunch of files. And this was hours after she had just signed an agreement not to bug this guy anymore.
Because that's how you win someone's love.
That is. You break into their place of work.
You force yourself.
Yes. Yeah. People like that. Well, now we have another story of somebody breaking into a police station. Only this one involves a 29-year-old breaking into a police station so she could eat an officer's lunch.
Just mean.
All right. According to police, Jean-Pierre broke into the substation and she stole two pre-made meals belonging to an officer from the fridge. I mean, that is a high crime to steal somebody's lunch out of the work fridge.
Even as like a coworker, you can't do that.
She actually warmed one of them up and ate it. Upon finding the scene the next day, detectives discovered that she left her ID behind.
But do they just take the ID out of their pockets?
I'm just going to put this right here for safekeeping.
So that way I don't drop it.
So I can have keep my eye on it.
And these detectives will never be able to figure out who I am. Okay. They're detectives. She was also, of course, caught on surveillance. She has been charged with burglary, theft, and criminal mischief.
I think the thing that we've taken away from this, though, who knew that so many police stations across the country would close down at night?
Right? Just shut it on down.
That is still, odd to me. They should not be closed.
No.
So Louis C.K. has had a lot of things not go his way in recent months. Mostly because of his own doing. Maybe totally because of his own doing. And in this particular exchange of text messages, there is a woman who is claiming that Louis C.K. gave her an STD.
No good.
He said, quote, "I never swore that I was clean. I told you I may or may not have given this to you. I'm sorry if I did. If you gave it to me, it's okay."
Aha. Oh my gosh.
What STD?
So it doesn't really specify STD?
Because that, there's a varying degrees of, is it crabs? Is it chlamydia? Is it herpes? Is it AIDS? Or,
if it's something that doesn't go away.
Between crabs and AIDS. Right. There's a big swing there.
Big swing. But, it's this woman is saying that she may have gotten it from old Louis C.K. and now she is going public with it.
I don't know what's worse, admitting that you got an STD from Louis C.K. or admitting that you slept willingly with Louis C.K.
Well, so here's the twist in the story that makes it even more interesting. The woman's name is Sarma Miangelis, I think is how you say her last name. She's a New York City restaurant owner who got 4 months in prison for stealing from investors.
Okay.
During her case, she was sleeping with her attorney in return for legal favors. Well, the New York Post went through text messages proving the affair, but in the process, they also found the text between Sarma and Louis C.K.
She's hot.
Yeah, she is.
She is pretty.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
She wasn't intentionally going public with this, but because
it just happened to pop out.
Well, because she was banging her lawyer.
Yeah.
Well, in trouble for stealing money from investors in New York City.
Well, it's not from the lawyer.
Well, because her and Louis C.K. were the ones that were having the exchange.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah.
I want to know what it was.
I do, too.
I want to know. Like I said, because that is a there's too much that could be inferred. But she like also like what is she doing
with Louis C.K.?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, he is horrible looking. She is very attractive, but you know, I mean, he's rich and famous, so whatever. And finally, if you're one of the individuals that stole the blue lights off of the top of a police car, police would like a word with you. Officers are on the hunt for a thief who made off with the entire rack of blue lights from a car that was parked outside of a rail station. This is over in the UK. There is CCTV images of a man that they want to speak to in connection with the incident, and they're thinking that he may be a suspect, considering they have footage of him looking up at the camera over his shoulder and laughing while running off with the entire police light bar. The pictures show the man carrying the long blue emergency service lights. They say it took place at about 4:29 a.m. on December 26th, so probably drinking at a holiday party and then decides to split. The police are hoping the man in the CCTV images may have information that could help their investigation. So, yeah, turn yourself in, buddy.
It's like, this is going to look so good next to my lava lamp.
It's so good.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Is a blue light special sexy? I mean, I know they used to have those at Kmart. Like half off. Boop, hit them.
Yeah.
Boop, boop. All over, girl.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Now, I am a firm believer that they should include at least one adult whenever Jeopardy does their teen tournament thing. Those questions are just so easy. So I think they just need somebody there with more knowledge to put them in their place. Now, the adult, of course, wouldn't be able to win the game. That wouldn't be fair. They'd just be there to show the teens how a fully developed brain works.
Message deleted.
Do you really find the questions on the teen Jeopardy? I just don't think they're that easy for most adults.
It's easier than original Jeopardy. Yeah. But still, yeah, you know, you'll run into categories where you're like, yeah, I got all this. But still,
yeah,
most likely, I'm losing to an eighth grader.
Does it make you mad when there's children that are far better at doing something than you will ever be?
No.
Like, when I see a kid that is just like a whiz at playing the piano or something, I'm like, you're seven.
I like it.
You're like, great. What are you doing?
It gives me hope for the world, you know? I'm like, if everybody in the world was as lazy as I was, you know, we would get nothing done. There'd be no war, but nothing else would be happening, you know?
I think Dave's just a little bit jealous.
I am jealous.
I get a little bit jelly, too.
Like, how did you learn how to do all that? You're seven. Like, a couple of years ago, you're pooping your pants.
Yeah, because their parents put them in a boot camp. And that's all they've done for those 7 years of their life.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it sounds magical, so well done, parents.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Do any of you have a person in the office that you want to be friends with, but it just never happened? Like, do me a favor, go say hi to that person today, and maybe this message will give you that courage. I hope so. Go get some friends, you nerd.
Message deleted.
No, it's the opposite. A bunch of people that I feel like I'm forced to pretend that I like that I don't.
Yeah, work friendships.
Why are you looking at me?
No reason.
Why? That are forced are kind of awkward. Just because you can never really be yourself around them. It's like going to a work party where everybody's drinking, but you can't really enjoy yourself because it's everybody from work and you can't really let loose as much as you would want to or say what you're really thinking.
The worst is because we have long hallways here at Intercom, and so you see people coming. And there's some people that are just so socially awkward that they don't even acknowledge you as they're walking past you, even though it's like a 4-minute encounter where you slowly pass.
And then you make eye contact.
Yeah.
And they're chunnels. Like, there's not like ways you can like get off.
No.
You're in that hallway. There's no ducking out.
You're in that like awkward hell.
Yeah, it's like being in a tube. But do you ever do that thing where you see somebody and you do that whole like kind of tighten your lips? Mm-hmm.
Just a little nod.
And then you look down.
Nod, yeah.
A little nod.
But you have to time the nod right so that way you don't do it too early or too late. You just kind of try to get them at the right time.
Do you try to like make the contact, like put it out of the way and just say like, hey, man.
No.
And then it's like,
no, I don't want
to like a minute of just like awkward, like, hello, okay.
Yeah.
And then you pass by.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes.
And I ever feel like work relationships, regardless of what they are, whether it's like with somebody of the opposite sex and there's something going on there, or even just like being buddies with your work cohort, they don't normally end that well.
Yeah.
Like something goes wrong and you end up hating each other and then you're forced to work together. That's more on the relational side. But
oh, okay.
If you become like best friends with the person you work with, is that good? I feel like no matter who it is, you get tired of being around them for that many hours of that many days.
You want to hang out on Saturday? No, I just saw you past week.
I'm good.
Is that why? I was over your house this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Are you trying to tell me something?
Dave.
What's wrong
with you?
It was great having you over, Mahoney. It was the most fun. Hold on.
You gotta look at this.
Fun time that I've had in the past month or so.
Huh.
Friend.
Huh.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Friend.
What time of day is your favorite, me, you ask? Well, I'd have to say either 8 a.m. or 5:56 p.m. But don't ask why. I'm serious. Don't ask.
Message deleted.
All right.
5:56. That's so...
5:56. Very specific. I'll tell you my favorite time of the day. It is about 6:45 to 7:15 in that range, because the kids go to sleep. My daughter, who is a ball of energy, could not love her more. But when she goes to bed and I have like that hour and a half for the wife and I to like binge on some TV.
Mm-hmm. Crack open a box of Franzia and just treat yourself.
I would never drink Franzia. I drink the $3 more expensive black box.
Oh, well, sorry.
Wow.
Because it's slightly more compact.
Yeah. Oh.
It sits on the counter. And also you don't feel so ashamed when you drink a whole bottle of wine because you can't tell it's in a box. Whew.
Wow.
You were over on Saturday, weren't you?
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.
Maddie didn't offer me any.
I wasn't invited on Saturday.
Yeah, it's to watch football.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Do you know who played on Saturday? Name one football team that
Patriots.
Played on
no.
Saturday.
You're right.
All right.
It's top stories. Here's what's making news.
Sylvia, you said you're really excited about this, which surprised me because it seems like way before your time. Mm. But Coming to America, you were a fan?
Yeah, I love Coming to America. Okay. Like, it's always playing on like TBS or Comedy Central. But yeah.
I would have bet $1,000.
That you'd never seen it?
No.
No. Well, it is happening. So a director has been hired, and Eddie Murphy says, quote, "I'm looking forward to bringing all these classics and beloved characters back to the big screen." So Coming to America 2 is, in fact, going to happen.
There better be an appearance by Sexual Chocolate himself, Randy Watson.
There must be.
Just so.
And I'm so surprised.
I have no idea
what's going on.
I am really surprised. Though I was talking to a friend of mine, and he found his queen in Queens. He thinks that the premise of this is that their prince, who they had, is going to go to Princeton.
Oh.
Oh, that's cute.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
James Earl Jones also better be in it.
So it was last September when there was a guy by the name of Paul Anthony Menchaca of Gilbert, Arizona. He was arrested at his home for pretending to be disabled. So he pretended to have a severe case of Down syndrome and was posing... He was posing as a woman hiring somebody to take care of somebody with severe Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
That included bathing them and changing the adult diapers of her son, so that he was pretending to be like the mom of this person. A second and third victim, who knew each other as well as the first victim, took over the caretaker duties in July, and you may recall this story because it was very public that this guy was trolling for well-meaning nurses that had training and were just looking for honest work. Mm-hmm. And really, this guy didn't have any disability at all. He was just kind of a creep wanted people to change his adult diapers that he would soil for whatever reason. Well, according to an Arizona news outlet, a fourth victim has now come forward recently to tell a very similar story about confirming that she was also hired under the belief that it was the mother that was paying her to bathe and change her special needs adult son. The fourth victim's story lined up with the three other victims and also reportedly happened during that same time frame. The latest victim had her encounter with the Arizona man after hearing about the allegations against him. So his trial for his first arrest is scheduled to start actually January 15th. So, it is upon us. And hopefully this guy gets what he deserves. Like, it's a really crappy thing to do to somebody.
It's insane to do something along those lines, you know, to be imitating somebody who is disabled and is got Down syndrome is just unconscionable to begin with. Dude, just go to Craigslist, say, "Hey, I'm an adult guy who likes to wear diapers, and how would you like to change them? I'll pay you."
But also,
there's somebody out there.
There's somebody out there. Yes.
But also, like, taking advantage of the nurses.
Yes.
Like,
that's, yes, he needs to be in prison for a good long while.
He just looks like a creep, too.
Of course. Isn't it weird? Why is it that, like, our, you know, whatever, our senses, when we see somebody who just looks like a creep,
they're a creep.
Like, why? Like, what makes them look like a creep? It's hard to describe other than saying they look like a creep. But when you see them,
you know what they look like.
It's usually like in the eyes, right?
It's like saying with a chick that has crazy eyes. Like, you know exactly what you're talking about.
Because you just see, like, the white.
And you, if a normal girl did that with the white of her eyes, it wouldn't look right. Like, there's just certain people that have that certain look. Like, if that guy, you're like, he looks really creepy, he's over there, you know exactly who you're talking about right away. Yeah.
Is that evolution that we
people do they
figure that
they
out?
Look creepy, not know that they look creepy.
They just like look in the mirror. I'm like, yeah, I'm normal.
Oh, I look good today, man. I look good today.
Yeah, more white in the eyes.
Whiter the eyes.
Stained wife beater and these gray sweatpants that have holes in them. Yeah,
with some Copenhagen stain on them.
Yeah, this is gonna look real good when I go out tonight.
Hell yeah,
chicks are gonna dig this.
Waffle House, here I come.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Here's the question for today's Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
The highest I've ever bowled was like, and it was on a date with, it was like one of my first dates with my fiance. I think you were there.
Really?
I think we were at Red Rock Bowling Alley.
Yeah, I think you're actually right.
And I was like bowling my ass off that day.
This is the score that Mahoney claims to have gotten in his highest bowling.
I claim. I've got a picture of it. I got a picture on my phone.
Oh, really? I could tell you. I could just Google a picture of a high score in bowling and then save it to my phone.
I could show it from the same night.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You could look through the pictures of that.
Yeah, so you Googled the...
Oh, and then I went back in time through my Apple timeline.
That's right.
It's a lot of work, though.
Also, whooped my fiance's ass at air hockey that night, too.
You're supposed to let her win,
nope.
Man.
No, man. Nope. It was like a first date, right?
No, it was like probably
one of the first dates.
One of the first dates. You didn't let her win?
Four or five. No.
It's like when I take my kid to Dave and Buster's. I'm like, you ain't beat my horse, high score kid.
Yeah.
Playing that little groundhog gig, hit it with a hammer. You know, I'm like, I have to show you how it's done. I can't just let you win.
Yeah, it's like you're not going to learn. You're not going to try. Right? You got to, you know, it's insulting to you if I let you win.
X107.5, good morning. What is your name?
Buddy.
What is it?
Buddy.
Oh, Buddy. All right. Buddy, what is the correct answer? What does Mahoney claim is his high score?
214.
Close enough.
He said 218. Close enough. Okay. Yeah. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. We're going to set you up with some tickets to go check out the Fly Link Zip Line down at the Link Promenade. Enjoy that, and thank you for listening, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.
Mornings on X107.5 with Dave and Mahoney.